of Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times.
Welcome back. It's 12:06 at 12:60 WRC. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. Hour number two of the program officially underway. And with that arrives Ben Wolfgang, Washington Times White House reporter. Hello, Ben.
Hey, Andy. How you doing?
Doing just fine. Saw the headline, economists see few dollars and little cents on Obama agenda. This, of course, a result of his speech the other night where he mentioned things like ladders of opportunity, whatever they are. What are they? Do we know?
Well, that's a great question. And of course, one of the sort of interesting things about the speech the other night is the president, as he often does, as he's done since he was a candidate, talked in these big, broad terms about, as you say, ladders of opportunity for the middle class, closing the growing income inequality gap in the United States, all sort of this big, bold vision that the president has. The problem is the specific policies and proposals that he's putting forward, from everybody I talk to, they simply don't match the rhetoric of the problem. They're simply not big and broad enough to match the scope of the problem that he's laying out. When you look at things like raising the minimum wage for federal contractors or setting up these MIRA retirement accounts that he's been out there selling now for the past couple of days, those are really, frankly, they're small ball ideas, and the bigger ideas, the bigger proposals, things like comprehensive tax reform or things like entitlement reform or cutting regulations to get the economy going or a massive jobs bill that could put some people back to work. We didn't hear a lot of that. We heard more, very small targeted proposals from the president. But, certainly, I guess if you're a federal contractor making $8 an hour, this is big news to you. Or if you're somebody who's in a job who doesn't have access to a retirement account, these MIRA accounts, that's probably, good news for you and an important step for you. But, frankly, for the majority of the country, these proposals don't really affect them and aren't going to do much to improve their lives or improve their economic situation. So that's sort of the disconnect between the scope of the problem the president's laying out, which is that, everybody agrees is a major issue, income inequality, but that what he's laying out to try to address that problem, the two don't really match.
Yeah, I mean, by raising the minimum wage, you fix all of the problems of this country economically. That's what people look at. I've heard more and more over the past 24 hours, people saying, hey, I got to scratch my head. The guy didn't give me any indication that we're going to pull out of this anytime soon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, frankly, and certainly, I guess, at this point in the presidency, maybe you could say this about any administration to a certain degree, but yeah. It does seem like they're kind of out of big ideas, uh-huh. Or the big ideas that they do have aren't going anywhere because of the gridlock in Congress or aren't going anywhere because the majority of the American people don't want to see them. So a certain degree, I think maybe the president's put forward already most of the big ideas that he has, and so all that's really left or all that's left that they think that maybe they can either get through Congress or can do with the pen and the phone, as he's been saying the past couple of weeks, that's sort of what we're left with, is things like minimum wage for federal contractors or setting up a new type of retirement account. I mean, I don't think that it's exactly what people were hoping to hear from the president in the State of the Union. But I think at this point in his presidency, unless something were to drastically change politically or if his approval ratings were to skyrocket to where the American people get on board with some of his bigger ideas, I think those small ball ideas really are what we're left with right now, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny because I heard one pundit yesterday say, hey, when the president got to the closing of Gitmo again, I knew that he had run out of ideas.
That's exactly right. That was, he was talking about that, obviously, when he was running for president in his first address to a joint session of Congress back in 2009. That was a big point of it. Here we are in 2014, and we're really not any closer to actually closing Guantanamo Bay. So it's pretty clear that at this point, a lot of his big ticket agenda items are going nowhere. That doesn't appear to be changing anytime soon. So, we're here talking about minimum wage for federal contractors and things like that. And of course, I don't need to tell you that, there are the National Retail Federation and a number of economists and business groups say, hey, raising the minimum wage is going to do little, if anything, in terms of the overall economy. As a matter of fact, it could actually hurt job growth and could hurt the number of people entering the workforce. I had economists tell me, hey, you notice when you go to the grocery store, when you go to Home Depot or something like that, that you see fewer and fewer people at the checkout counter and more of these automatic checkout lanes that you have to go through yourself. and scan your items. If you raise the minimum wage, economists that I'm talking to say, you're going to see more and more of that kind of thing, more and more of businesses and employers trying to find whatever ways they can to save money, and that means fewer employees. Now we're hearing, you know, there are restaurants, like I think Applebee's, TGI Fridays are experimenting with ordering at your table with computer screens there so you don't have a server, waiter, or waitress come over and actually take your order. You can do it yourself on a screen. That's the kind of thing that I think you're going to see more of if President Obama and the Democrats have their way and get a minimum wage hike.
Ben, you may recall at the McDonald's a couple of McDonald's in New York, not too long ago, there were protests for higher wages. And McDonald's came back with a response very much like you just talked of, in that, all right, well, that's fine, but don't be surprised if you walk in the front door and there's a panel awaiting you rather than a person, because we'll eliminate some of the counter help.
Exactly. I mean, and that just seems to be a pretty logical, you know, response for a business. What else, you know, what can you really expect them to do? I mean, you go to McDonald's right now, and you're paying, what, $4 or $5 maximum for a meal at McDonald's. A lot of people go in there and buy something off a dollar menu. You're spending $2, $3 at McDonald's. You know, that's not exactly a lot of money. A company like that doesn't feel like they can pay their employees a massive wage, $10 an hour, $15 an hour. And it's also worth pointing out that the vast majority of people in this country do not make the minimum wage. It's a pretty small percentage of workers, mostly young workers. High school kids or college kids who are trying to break into the workforce, get their first job at a place like McDonald's. So that's the people that we're talking about. So to trot that issue out there again and try and spin it as this major proposal that's going to turn around income inequality in this country and jumpstart the economy, a lot of people are scratching their heads and saying, is that really the best that we got in terms of ideas?
Yeah. Let's talk about where he was yesterday. He was at the Costco store out here in Lanham, and I understand that he had promised to buy some pretzels, and he didn't.
I mean, it's pretty funny. He got up there and had a lot of great things to say about Costco, because they apparently pay their employees on average more than $11 or more than $20 on average, and the starting salary is something like $11.50 at Costco. So, of course, that's right in line with what the president wants to see every business in America doing. So he had a lot of great things to say, but near the end of his speech, as he was wrapping up, he said that he was going to leave and go buy a 10-pound barrel of pretzels and 500 golf balls, which certainly he could use the 500 golf balls, I imagine, for as much golf as he plays. But then, sure enough, he left Costco and didn't buy anything. So he's getting a little, it's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek heat, I think, on the president for promising to buy some things at Costco and then walking out the door empty-handed.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. He does love Costco because he gets support from the founder, Jim Senegal, and I remember he spoke at the convention, and also gives him a lot of money, if I understand it correctly.
Yeah, I gave the president the maximum donation on the 2012 race, hosted a fundraiser for him, gave a lot of money to the DNC. So this is a two-way street between those two guys.
Yeah. He left there and went to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, left there, went to Pittsburgh, spoke at a steel mill in Pittsburgh, which is where he announced these MIRA retirement accounts, which he signed a memorandum actually at the steel plant and gave it to Treasury Secretary. So they're going to establish these new accounts in the next couple of weeks. Now, they're still a little fuzzy on some of the details about what those accounts are going to entail. It sounds like it's more of a basically a government bond than an actual retirement account. You can put money into this account that's going to be set up through the Treasury Department. It's backed by the United States government, as a bond would be, and you're able to have access to the same interest-bearing accounts that all federal employees have. Now, so that's great if the account is actually, if you're making money year over year, if you're getting interest back and your principal is rising if the economy is good. The problem is, if that tanks, as it did back in 2008, and you're starting to lose money, if your principal is backed by the federal government, that means your principal is backed by me and you, and you potentially, economists are telling me, could see a situation where taxpayer money has to go in to basically make good on the promise that nobody is going to lose money with these government retirement accounts. So we could be in a situation there where if we have another economic downturn, we're losing money and racking up more money in the deficit to pay for these retirement accounts the president talked about.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how that all works out. All right, anything else on the schedule for the week?
Well, he's going to be, he's actually in Wisconsin today. He's going to be touring a General Electric facility up there, and then he's going to be heading back out on the road after that. So he's certainly mounting a PR offensive here in the days after a State of the Union to try and sell some of these proposals that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm. All right, Ben, thank you much for the update. Appreciate it. We'll talk again.
All right, thanks, Andy.
Ben Wolfgang, Washington Times White House reporter. 1216, 1260 WRC, Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. This portion of my show is brought to you by K-Hovnanian Homes. New communities, new designs. Go to khov.com for more information. All right, well, I understand Ann has somewhat of a bone to pick with me over something I said earlier in the show, so we'll get into that. Tim Holzkamp, congressman from Kansas, went on MSNBC on Rachel Maddow's show. Wow, it was a lot of fun. You'll hear all about that as well. Coming up right here on Andy Parks Live from the Washington Times.